Welcome to another edition of Monday's Sports Line on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. I am your co-host, Eddie Feary. With me is your actual host from the San Luis County News Sports Reporter, writer, Mike Gallagher.
How you doing, buddy?
Do I have you on?
Like it.
There we go.
You go. Now you got me.
I didn't want to interrupt you from eating your DQ.
Yeah.
You're on chill,
yeah,
man.
Yep.
One of our sponsors, by the way, for sports.
Yeah, a little bit of lunch on the run tonight. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that, too.
Yeah. You
know, I went to the Diamond Trail, and I watched everybody walk, and here I am stuffing my face on this National Cheeseburger Day.
Oh, is it? Wow.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad I got a couple of them.
There
then.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to a lot of our sponsors for Sports Line Monday. Well, I keep messing the name up. It's Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I got it.
It's a little wordy.
It is. A little monotonous. Kind of confusing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely confusing.
Are we the only sports show on, or did Let's Talk Sports come back?
Let's Talk Sports is back, yeah, and we'll have Scotty B on with us in a little bit. He can tell us about that. They're doing a little bit differently, not going to be Saturday mornings anymore. It'll be kind of
like a pregame.
A lead into their game of the week coverage, and then they'll also be in podcast form. But we can let Scotty talk about that.
Okay. All right, so the tension's building here. It's week four. We're already just past midway of the season now.
Yeah, it feels pretty crazy.
Going quick.
I don't like it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's going too fast.
All right.
It's going to be winter pretty soon here.
Actually, it's the final week of summer.
Oh,
things are going to get hot. They're going to heat up here in week five soon, but let's go through the week four scores. You think so?
It's the last week of summer. That's when it cools down.
Does it? It's already cool enough out there.
Yeah.
So. All right, you like my cool theme music?
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Okay. So go to the daily news section for the week four and then sports. I know it's kind of hard to find. I'm going to fix that where you can just see sports up here somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Talking on the Santa Lake Broadcasting website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be confusing. We are confusing. All right. So the game of the week on Thursday was Brown City over Dacreville 46-28. That was a close game in the first half. It got away from them in the second half.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you fill me in on that one. I was I had volleyball responsibilities on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was a Thursday game, yeah.
Yep, Thursdays are reserved for volleyball coverage. But I was listening to you guys on my way home from Marlette, and sounds like it was a heck of a game.
It was a heck of a game, and we're going to talk about that when we get to our eight-player talk. Other games that happened on Friday, the backyard brawl. It was ugly. Bearcats defeating the Humber Beach Pirates 56-20.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprising – well – maybe only to me, because I thought Harbor Beach had a shot in that game, but ugly is ugly, so.
Yeah. Another big game, critical for both teams. Marlette came out on top over Sandusky, who was previously undefeated at that point, 38-28 at Sandusky.
That was a fantastic game.
You were
there.
Classic
rivalry game, yep. It was a 10-point game by the end of it, but it was back and forth all night. And, yeah, great rivalry game. First win for Marlette in Sandusky since 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great stat.
I had to double and triple check that after Coach Lesser told me that.
Did you? Okay.
I mean, he would know, but I still didn't believe him.
Well, I think he said that in the notes, didn't he? Yeah, something like that, or offhand. By the way, that was a Thumb Tuggeter Sports game of the week. You can hear the replay of that. Phil Nicko and John Crazier.
I might listen to that. Yeah, that was a good game.
The replay of that.
Yeah.
Bad Axe over Memphis, 40-13. The Hatchets in the Greater Thumb East. That could be a critical point now. If they're getting better, they could cause some havoc in the Greater Thumb East, especially with Marlette or Sandusky still involved.
Well, they got Sandusky coming up this week, so that'll be either a get-right game for Sandusky or a chance for Bad Axe to make some noise in the East.
Cass City Redhawks flying past the Reese Rockets. I was surprised about that. I thought Reese may be able to, you know, get a little bit better, but, man, they stumbled a lot since, you know, the whole season.
Reese is kind of living off the reputation of what we saw in that Week 1 game against Sandusky in that first half. But Cass City, you know, they're a team similar to Ubley. They're going to get better as the season goes along, and right now we're starting to see that with Cass City.
The Elkton Pitch and Bayport Lakers flooding Unionville Seabowing 51-14. With that score, Lakers controlling the West, but they still have Cass City coming up.
Yep, Cass City and Lakers on a collision course for the Greater Thumb West title. They've really separated themselves from the middle of the pack. Go ahead and throw Carroll in the mix, though, too.
Wow, and speaking of Carroll, they got the big win over Vassar, a comeback, and they just blew up in the second half, 34-7. Was a win for the Tigers there.
That was a game that they were losing 7-6 at one point. So, great second half effort from Carroll. great win for Rob McDaniel, the former Peck Pirates coach. We've talked about him a lot on this show. If you're Caro, that's a game in previous years you don't win, but this year they got it in convincing fashion.
And moving on to the Blue Water Area Conference, exciting game here. This was covered by Let's Talk Sports, WIDL 92.1, Scotty B out there. It was Almont with a close win over North Branch, 29-22.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Scotty about that one, because that is that sounds like it was a dogfight, and it, Almont with a crazy drive at the end of the game to pull off the win there.
Because they were down 21-22, I think, at one point.
Yeah. And it sucks because from an analyst standpoint, when we're trying to figure out the BWAC, I think all we found out is that Almont's really good and North Branch is really good.
Consistently always good.
Yeah.
Even in a down year.
Yep. And if you're Croswell-Lex, you still got both those teams on the schedule. So
look out, Croswell-Lexington. They got the easy win over the Algonac Muskrats, 41-14 for the Pioneers. Also, the Richmond Blue Devils defeating Yale. This was so surprising, but the things you do in a game, we're going to explain what happened in this one. Richmond over Yale Bulldogs, 42-21. Yale will face Croswell-Lexington this week. Can the Dogs get their bite back?
It's a rivalry game.
Or the bark.
We saw last year how Yale played in that game. But right now, these are two teams that are trending in opposite directions. Croslex is getting better and better each week. Yale is a team
regressing.
It's hard to even say they're regressing, because you lose to North Branch and Richmond. Those aren't bad losses by any means.
But
I think Croslex has the advantage in that game. That's a trophy game. That's a trophy that Croslex has held on to for the past six seasons. And I don't think they're going to give it away lightly.
Okay. And against all the odds there, of course, another BWAC game. We had
too many tabs open,
I know,
Eddie.
Armada Tigers. It's like the morning show. Tigers defeating the Imlay City Spartans 47-7. Collision course with the Almont Raiders and Armada. I do believe Thumbtugger Sports is covering that game this week.
Okay, that's this week. Yeah. That's Armada went out and did what they were supposed to do. Hopefully they fixed some things that plagued them in the past couple weeks. And I still think this is a team, while they're probably out of the running for first place, they're still going to be able to make some noise and pull off an upset or two, maybe.
And they're going to, I think Almont and Yale would like Armada's help.
Yeah. And, with two losses,
even Richmond at this point,
it's going to be hard to get back up into the conversation for first place. But we'll see. It was nice to see Armada get back on track.
Other high school eight player football games: we had Brown City defeating Deckerville 46-28, and we had Mayville still undefeated, shutting out Dryden 49-0. Is Golden Hahn going to sneak up on us?
They're going
to Wildcats.
They're going to win this week too, and this is a team. At the beginning of the season, we talked a lot about Deckerville, Kingston, Brown City, and the Stars, and shame on us for overlooking Mayville.
Yes.
Now, granted, they still have to play Brown City, Deckerville, and Kingston, but they've handled their business, and they've done it in pretty dominant fashion the past couple weeks.
Kingston, speaking of Kingston, bounces back with the win over Burton Atherton, 56-22.
Yep.
Good for them.
Kingston, still a very good team. Yep.
Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, 2-point win against KPAC, 30-28. Great showing for KPAC in that game.
Yeah, that's tough for KPAC. It seems like they're right on the verge of breaking through. But the Stars is tough, man. It's hard to pick up wins. But KPAC's still a good team. They'll pick up some wins pretty soon here, maybe.
The Bay City All Saints shutting out the Caseville Eagles, 56-0. That was kind of a, I didn't see Caseville score there.
Yeah,
big shutdown on
that's
them.
Bay City All Saints, a team we don't really talk about a whole lot, but a team that's, right in the middle of the conversation for a Stripes title. We've got three teams right at the top there: Akron Fairgrove, Bay City All Saints, and Ashley. And that's a nice win for Bay City All Saints, because you'd think Feltner would get at least a touchdown, but to be able to shut out that Caseville offense, that's a nice win.
North Huron gets their first win of the season, denying Carson Beport Sanilac 44-30, a high scoring game in that one.
Yeah, that's tough. CPS, they're going to have another opportunity this week. They get New Haven Merritt Academy. I'm still not letting the Tigers hype die. I think they win this week. But for North Huron, that's a win. That's a nice win. Chad Knobloch, We both know him. He runs a great program up there. And while they are a little bit down this year, they're still going to win the games they're supposed to win. And that was a good showing for them.
Good Lord, on a Saturday at noon, Ashley defeats Peck 52-8. What?
Yeah, this is... we'll go into it a little bit more as we get into our eight-player talk, but this is not the same Ashley team that we've been talking about for the past couple seasons. This isn't the team that's, you know, forfeiting games, and, you know, this is a good Ashley team. You know, there were some circumstances for Peck, but, yeah, I was not expecting quite that lopsided of a score.
And the Akron Fergro Vikings with the win over New Haven Merritt Mustangs. Sound the horn! That's a loud horn.
That's a loud horn. Yeah, they deserve it, though. Another win for the Vikings, and the Stripes race is getting pretty interesting. Unfortunately, two of the teams outside of our coverage area with All Saints and Ashley, so I'll be pulling for the Vikings the rest of the way, I guess.
All right, I don't even know. I don't think I even heard what you said there because the horn was so loud.
Good. That's better, yeah. Just keep playing the horn all night.
All right, and we of course, we're going to look ahead to Week 5. Our game of the week, it is the Crossville Lexington Pioneers hosting the Yale Bulldogs. We're going to cover that game on 92.5 FM, WBGV. We may even be in the press box this week. We might sneak in there.
Yeah.
Squeeze right in there, yeah. Like a sardine. Mm-hmm. Or like a can of Spam.
Yeah, yeah. You should just set up on the hill, man. That's a good spot.
It's going to get a little wet that night, I think.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Well, you know, like the dew.
Yeah,
it starts to build up a little more.
Yeah,
there,
okay.
So,
I see.
All right, so where will you be at this week?
I'll be at Croslex in Yale. The way the schedule works out, you know, we've been talking about this with a little quirks and different things with the official shortage and stuff. CPS is going to be playing New Haven Merritt Academy at New Haven Merritt Academy on Fridays, and that will be a 4:30 kickoff because New Haven Merritt does not have lights for their field. So I'm going to try and double dip. I'm going to start in New Haven. And then make my way down to Croswell.
So you're going to make your way down to M19 then?
Should work out, right?
Through Emmett, through Memphis, through Richmond.
Straight shot? Yeah, it'll
it's
be
kinda,
fine.
Actually, it's kind of curvy. So, yeah.
Wow, okay.
All right. The Sportsline Radio Sports Show will continue when we come back. That's the Week 4 list. And the comments there by Mike Gallagher, your Sandlot County News sports writer. Pick up his edition of the paper coming up this Wednesday. And every Thumb Sports Writers Association prints out there. We have the Minden City Herald. We have the Sandlot County News, the Huron Daily Tribune, the Huron County View, the Tuscola County Advertiser, the... Am I missing anybody?
Varsity Monthly,
yes. Shiny pictures.
Yeah, they got nice pictures. Free publication.
And, of course, all the media out there from WOW Sports, WIDL, Let's Talk Sports, and our Thumb Together Sports crew and contributors out there also.
Miller Sports Time, too.
Oh, Miller Sports Time.
The hardest working guy out of all of us.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Unless somebody drives him, so.
Yeah.
What?
What does that mean?
We'll be right back. Speaking of driving, more motors here.
Attention, fellow Thumbbillies. If you're tired of changing the radio station every time a car dealer starts screaming at you about this month's awesome deal, or if you're tired of all the games, gimmicks, and unrealistic lease deals that hardly anyone qualifies for, and if you're looking for a born and raised local sales guy that has built his reputation and career on being totally transparent and taking care of his customers before and after their sale, well, look no further than More Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Carroll, Michigan. Denny King, the King of Cars, is here to assist you with your automotive needs. I'm born and raised in the Thumb. For almost 30 years, I've been loving what I do, taking care of customers and making friends along the way. So give me a shout, stop in and ask for me, and get the best deal possible, all while enjoying no pressure, no games, no gimmicks, and a change of pace from the average dealers. This has been the King of Cars again, Denny King at More Motors in Carroll, and I can't wait to earn your business on your next vehicle and show you why you get more at More Motors.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky invites you to join the team. Get active and make new friends. Fall bowling team registration is going on now. There are openings for ladies' leagues on Monday evening and Wednesday morning, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and mixed leagues for Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Beginners are welcome. For more information, call 810-648-9860 or stop at Liberty Lanes. Oh, yes, Liberty Lanes is also hiring for all positions. Stop in and apply at Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky. Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
At Tri-County Equipment, they understand that your yard doesn't contain just grass. Your yard is a place where your kids play and your family gathers. Tri-County Equipment, your John Deere headquarters, offers a complete line of righty mowers and zero turns, designed to give you the best lawn possible so you can continue your outdoor shenanigans. Nothing runs like a deer. Gone are the days of exhausting, time-consuming yard work with the help of a John Deere riding lawnmower, designed with exclusive features like mulch control and a cell deep mower decks. You won't find another quality, budget-friendly lawnmower while still giving you all the bells and whistles. Find the perfect lawnmower for you. Browse the website at TriCountyEquipment.com or stop in at Tri-County Equipment with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Reese, Saginaw, Birch Run, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment.
All right, welcome back to Sports Line Radio, high school sports show. We're going to get into the BWAC right now. We got about 6.5 minutes to talk about that. Real quick here, the Crosby Lexington Pioneers, as we said, got the big win. How they do stat-wise in this one? This obviously was a little bit of a cakewalk for them.
Yeah, this is one, you know, we didn't talk about this one a lot last week because if you're Croslex, you got to just go out and take care of business against a team like Algonac, which they did. They were up 34-7 by halftime. Algonac scores a late touchdown. But it was a pretty solid game for Croslex. Obviously, you look at the names like Gavin Espinosa and Belly Grappi. They both had, you know, they did what they usually do. They didn't have as many opportunities, considering that was a 34-7 game at the half. But Gavin Espinosa, he had over 100 yards passing. Belly had 70-something yards and two touchdowns on, it was only 7 or 8 carries. But what kind of stood out this week for Croslex was the defense and the special teams. Braylon Day had a blocked punt for a touchdown. Jet Weeder had a 61-yard punt return for a touchdown. And just an all-around nice effort by Croslex. Again, they did what they were supposed to do. But, you know, it's nice to see them keep rolling. And it's nice to see, again, we talked about this last week, seeing some other names come up. Because you're not always going to be able to rely on Espinosa and Grappi. But Miles Levitt, 2 catches, 69 yards. Jet Weeder, to go along with his punt return touchdown, 2 catches, 50 yards. Belly had 8 carries, 74 yards, 2 touchdowns. Defensively, Nick Monzo, 8 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, a fumble caused, and an interception. He was a guy that had the defensive touchdown last week as well, so he's starting to make big plays on the defensive side of the ball. I expect this week's game against Yale, you know, on paper, Croslex should win this one pretty easily, but it's a rivalry game, and so you never really know. But I expect Croslex to want to come out and put on a show for the home crowd and hold on to that helmet trophy.
Yeah, it's going to be a critical game here for Yale. They lost to Richmond 42-21. It was Richmond leading 21-0 at halftime. But then Yale started to come back in the third quarter, 7 points, 14 in the fourth. But Richmond did the same thing. The thing that Yale did, 2 interceptions. You can't throw two interceptions against Richmond, especially this is an up-and-coming young team that's really showed that it was really tough against Croswell before Croswell pulled away in the second half. 6-17 for passing for Yale, 126 yards, two touchdowns, however, two interceptions also. Rushing-wise, 35 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown for the Yale Bulldogs in that one. And now they got Croswell-Lexington this week. That would be our game of the week. Moving on now to the Elmont Raiders. On the phone with us right now is Scotty B. from Let's Talk Sports, 92.1 FM in Tuscola County Advertiser. Scotty, how you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great. This obviously was a fantastic game. Great ending also. It was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter and then tied up 7-7 at halftime. And again, tied up 14-all in the third. And then things kind of started to break open here. Tell us about this game and how Elmont was able to pull this win over the North Branch Broncos.
Man, you know, Elmont is, I'm going to start here. North Branch is big. Their line, they have some big boys on that line. And we talked about it a couple times on the air on Friday, is how just different BWAC football is. I mean, the players, the play styles, the play calls, just a little bit different all across the field than what we're used to. And, you know, it was exciting to get down there and see that and see North Branch under head coach Chris Secor. But, you know, Elmont, they came ready to play. That's for sure. And that's, you know, typically from what I know and what I've seen is that's kind of Elmont style. Like they don't shy away from anything. And they went in there and North Branch forces a three and out right away. North Branch gets on the board first. Elmont's able to get a score back. You know, the one big thing too is Elmont's got some big boys in the backfield. I don't have my roster here in front of me, but they had a kid that was fullback. He caught some passes out of the backfield. He ran the ball. He's just a bowling ball. The kid was just it was just hard for North Branch to bring him down. They had to have about three or four guys jump on him at one time, and it was just a different, like I said, style of play. And the, you know, it came down to the end. North Branch is able to get a big score. They're 1 point away from tying it up, and Chris Cora says, you know what, we're going to go for it. We're going to go for the win at home. They get the two-point conversion, go up 22-21. Elmont comes back with a couple big plays on offense and is able to punch one in late. North Branch gets the ball back about 50 seconds left and just not enough gas in the tank in order to get it down there. They fumble the ball on a bad snap. Elmont jumps on it, and they can celebrate after that. But I will give Chris Cora his due. Remind me a lot of, not this past weekend's version of Dan Campbell, but our Dan Campbell that we're used to going out there faking a punt on a fourth and long. They were near midfield, decided to fake it. Kevin Gorman breaks off a big run, and I was just very impressed with the different style of play than we're used to at North Branch the past couple of years under Coach Jeremy Furman. Coach Chris Secor brings, I don't know, there's an excitement down there, and I'm really excited to be able to cover them and be able to see them this past weekend. And, you know, Kevin Gorman finished the day 74 rushing yards, a touchdown. Braden Robinson, the quarterback, 101 rushing yards, a touchdown with 44 passing yards. And Jaden Hutchinson was your leading tackler with five tackles. So, you know, Braden Robinson, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember what grade he's in off the top of my head, but either way, you know, whatever they got brewing down there, I'm really excited to see what's coming next. And watch out for a young man named Eli Bickle. He's a sophomore. His sister, Natasha Bickle, just graduated last year from North Branch. Kid's massive. He's probably six, I don't know, five. He's just a big kid on the line. And in a comparison that, you know, he's probably not there yet, but Chris Wilcox mentioned Jake Long at Lapeer as somebody that he reminds him of on the line as far as his length and how big he is. So, interesting. You know, that's something to look at. You know, they got some big opponents coming up. Algonac right around the corner as well, so that'll be, you know, a good game for them at home. Algonac struggling this year, but then they get right back into it. They have Richmond still on the schedule, Croslex and Armada. So, definitely not not the cakewalk for North Branch by any means.
Yeah, Braden Robinson is graduating in 2025. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So they got another year. Yeah, he's something special for them. I'm excited to see. And it was weird not to call Will Damascus' name at quarterback, but Fred Robinson did heck of a job at quarterback.
For the Elmont Raiders, 224 yards rushing. Both teams didn't pass that much. Just 40 yards for Elmont, 51 from North Branch. And the kid you're talking about from Elmont was Chase Patani. He had the first touchdown for Elmont in the second quarter to tie it up 7-7. You also had Aiden Farraquan, I do believe. I remember maybe a relative of his on the team some time ago. Luke Winkler also, and Chase Patani again. He's been the leading rusher here.
The kid with the first letter, the F letter, that's the one I was talking about. That's the bowling ball. Patani, he's a good speedster, as is Winkler. But that, I can't remember how to say it. I don't want to pronounce the word wrong and get thrown off the radio, but that F word.
Literal F word.
Not the F word, no.
Yeah, exactly. His F word, his last name. That was the kid that was, he was strong. And I'm impressed with Elmont. Like, I think they're gonna do some damage. I think they're a tough squad. Just kudos to North Branch, though, for being the first team to get on the board against the Raiders this year.
But Chase Patani, 96 yards rushing, 15 carries, 2 touchdowns. Winkler had a touchdown with 75 yards. And Aiden Ferqueron, I think the Aiden, I'm going to say. I'll have to get it from Boholski when I see him later this season. Now, Elmont, kind of like a trap game. They're up against Armada this week.
Yeah, and Armada, they're looking to get, you know, they're looking to put their name back into the conversation. I think despite what happened to Armada against Yale and against Croslex, you know, they came into the season with a lot of hype and a lot of people thinking, hey, this is their year in the BWAC. And that was for good reason. Like, this is a good Armada team. It's tough in the BWAC, and when you lose a couple of games, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad team. That means that the BWAC is pretty dang good. Granted, Elmont kind of appears to be maybe the cream of the crop this year. I'm still sticking with Croslex until they lose. With Croslex, you still got Elmont and North Branch coming up. So we'll see. It's going to be a battle for the rest of the way.
Okay, we'll be right back here. Top of the hour news and information is coming your way here. It is Sportsline on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM.
Right here on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC AM Sandusky and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ Sandusky.
All right, welcome back to Sportsline Radio, high school sports show here on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM, and streaming online at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link, and we'll have the podcast replay up by noon tomorrow on our website, along with the Week 5 list of games. That is not posted yet. I'll wait till tomorrow for that. And, of course, our game of the week is Croswell-Lexington hosting Yale Bulldogs. We touched on what Yale Bulldogs did. He turned over the ball twice against Richmond, who had 427 total yards, 167 passing yards, 260 rushing yards. That's a lot of yards there, Mike Gallagher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a nice win for Richmond.
Yeah.
I was kind of going into that. That was kind of a toss-up for me, I thought, because Yale's offense has shown that they can do some great things, but Richmond's defense has shown that they can do some great things. They did a great job against Croslex. Credit to Richmond. That was a nice win on their home field. And Richmond kind of getting to a point in their schedule where they could pick up a few wins here and make a push for the playoffs. So
they are 3-1 overall, 2-1 in BWAC league play. North Branch is 2-1. Croswell, Lexington, and Elmont still undefeated in league play in the chase for the Blue Water Area Conference League title. Also, Richmond, let me look at Connor Bergion, scored the first touchdown. Dominic Bonetti, an 88-yard pass from Anthony Bonetti, his brother, making it 14-0 at the end of the first. Dominic Bonetti, also another 32-yard pass from Anthony Bonetti. 21-0 at that point. In the third quarter, Yale scoring. That was the only scoring, I do believe, in that third quarter, possibly. 21-7, according to the stats here from Richmond. Anthony Bonetti with a one-yard run, making it 28-7. Richmond scored two more touchdowns in the fourth, 28-14, and closed the gap 28-21. But then back-to-back touchdowns, Anthony Bonetti QB run for 48 yards, and Connor Bergen with an 11-yard run, making it 42-21. It's a costly loss for Yale, but it could have been a costly loss also for Richmond.
Yeah, and either way. This was one of those games, you know, as we're covering games on Friday nights, we're always looking for other scores. We're always on Twitter and Facebook, and I saw that Richmond was up 21-0, and I was like, whoa, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And then the next update I saw, it was 28-21, and then I said, okay, so Yale's getting it going now.
Yeah.
And then I saw 35-21, so seemed like it was a really not really a back-and-forth game, but it seemed like the momentum shifted a few times. It's encouraging to see that from Yale, especially coming out of the half to
not
score
giving
some
up.
Points.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, and maybe made some adjustments and saw some different things. And that's an offense that's still going to be able to take advantage of some things against, you know, opposing defenses. But nice win for Richmond. You got Imlay City up next, and you better win that one because then you have North Branch, Elmont, Armada.
Six straight touchdowns for the Armada Tigers against Imlay City.
Mm-hmm.
410 total yards for Armada, 133 passing, 277 rushing. Jackson Malberg had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns for Armada in this game. Jacob Morgan scored in the fourth quarter for Armada. The other touchdown went to Zach Dykes. Familiar name there in the second quarter, making it 20-0 at one point. Five touchdowns for, as I said, Jackson Malberg, along with his 173 yards rushing and 19 carries. And Zach Dykes, 51 yards on 8 carries, 1 touchdown. And Morgan with 42 yards, 1 touchdown also. Keeping it on the ground. Armada, you know, they're kind of like in the position with the Yale Bulldogs right now, 1-2 in league play, 2-2 overall.
Yeah, it's time to start playing spoiler, you know.
Yeah,
and
especially with the fact that Armada has Elmont this week, Croswell Lexington also against against Yale.
And it with the way the BWAC is this year, I wouldn't be completely surprised if a two-loss team won the BWAC or shared the BWAC title. But if you're Armada, you can't really count on that at this point, especially with Croslex and Elmont both sitting undefeated. But yeah, for Armada, you know, the rest of the schedule, you got Elmont this week. That'll be a big one. Then you got Algonac after that. North Branch, that's tough. Richmond, and then Corunna, which I don't know much about. I don't know anything about Corunna. I won't even try and lie. But they're 4-0 right now, so if you're Armada, you got to steal, you know, a game or two in the BWAC or against Corunna to even, you know, be back in that playoff conversation. So it'll be interesting to see what they do against Elmont this week. The thing, now, obviously, Imlay City not in the same, you know, level conversation as Croslex or Yale, but it was encouraging to see Armada hold Imlay City to just 7 points. After giving up 53 to Croslex and 34 to Yale. So that was an encouraging sign. And then their offense just did what their offense, you know, does.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
All right. And the BWAC games for this week. Our game of the week, it's Yale at Croswell Lexington, 6:30 p.m. Live on WBGV 92.5 and streaming online this coming Friday night. Myself and Mikey Smith will be covering that game. Another key game, Armada at Elmont. We're kind of holding back to see if Thumb Tailgater is going to cover that game. That's at Elmont.
Okay.
Exciting game there.
Mm-hmm.
Critical game, like I said, for Yale and Armada at this point. North Branch is at Algonac and Richmond and Imlay City in the Blue Water Area Conference. When we come back, we dive into the Greater Thumb Conference.
There we go.
When we come back here on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM, it's the Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I got it! Finally.
Proud of you.
The heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumbs technology needs since 2008.
All across the Thumb and Blue Water area, there's one propane supplier that's ready to serve you. It's Kohler Propane, with locations in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe. Kohler Propane, where they strive to keep your fuel bill down and provide you with the best possible service. They guarantee their propane prices for one full year. There's free tank inspection and free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. If you are not a current Kohler customer, now's the time to make the switch and call Kohler's. Whether it's propane for your home's heating system or for your farm or business, they're ready to serve you. Remember, Kohler's covers the entire Thumb and Blue Water area. For information, call toll-free 800-572-2191. That's 800-572-2191. Or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's. From Kraft Chevrolet of Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Everyone is sick of high-interest financing on new vehicles.
1.9, Sam.
1.9 what?
1.9% financing available on most new Chevys.
1.9% financing?
Yep.
That's lower than any bank around here.
Not even close. GM Financial is offering as low as 1.9% financing on all Silverado, Equinox, Traverse, and Blazer models.
This is over a 4% savings of what you currently can get from your local banks, which equates to over $5,000 in savings throughout the life of the loan.
And with trade-in allowances and owner loyalty incentives, you can get up to $10,000 in savings and as low as 1.9% financing on a demo Silverado. This is a great deal, folks.
We currently have 7 trucks in our demo program and are putting great discounts on a first-come, first-served basis.
With $10,000 in savings and as low as 1.9% financing, this is a great opportunity to get into the truck that you've been waiting for.
If you're currently in an Equinox, Blazer, or Colorado lease, you get an additional $1,000 in incentives to get into a new Silverado.
And with demo discount savings, your lease payment will be less than you think.
1.9% financing, demo discounts, and big incentive offers. There hasn't been a better time to purchase or lease your new vehicle at Graf Chevrolet on M46 in Sandusky.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Croswell Lexington Laundry, we'll see if they need to clean their uniforms when they go up against Yale. I think they might have to. All right, we get into the Greater Thumb Conference. Big win for the Marlette Red Raiders over the Sandusky Wolves at Sandusky on Military Night of All Nights 2. Huge win for them. And that gave Sandusky their first loss of the regular season also. And kind of put Marlette back in some good playoff position because they still have tough games against Ubley, Harbor Beach, especially this week. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say Bad Axe to a degree here also because yep. I think Bad Axe could still win some games here against either Marlette or Sandusky, but that's later in the season. Good win here for Marlette. Man, this was a great game. It was back and forth, and Marlette special teams came through for them to really set them up for this win also. If you can get a two... lead score especially in wing T or a rushing offense that against Sandusky, who likes to drain the clock. That kind of puts them behind the eight ball there because they're not used to passing as much as they would like. They are a strong, you know, wing T offense out there where Marlette, the spread, but they run, but they can pass. Mm-hmm. And they use it. They used it this past week, and Denny Lester showing some good notes on this. But you said first win since 2008 for Marlette over mm-hmm. Sandusky?
Yep. In Sandusky.
In Sandusky. Yeah, in Sandusky. Yeah. Yeah. In Sandusky.
Yeah. It's, okay. It's hard to win in Sandusky. And yeah. They've had some great games there, but Marlette just hasn't been able to come up with a win until this past Friday.
Yeah. So with this box score, it was 6-6. And then a score from Marlette. What was key was scoring the two-point conversion, leading with 14 points to Sandusky's 12 at the half. Each team scored a touchdown along with their two-point conversions, but it was still, by that point, a two-point lead for Marlette at that point. It was 18, right?
20,
okay. 16 points, though, for Marlette in the fourth really opened up to get that two-touchdown lead. And then Sandusky did score in the fourth, but 38-28, 10-point lead here for Marlette. Wesley Chapin, 47-yard TD run. And then Carter Krause, back-to-back touchdowns for Sandusky at one point, a 36-yard TD run, 4-yard TD run also. But Trey Lester, a pass to Quentin Sartin.
Sartin
for 18 yards. Sartin to Chapin. And then Carter Krause with his third touchdown of the game. He had four in the game, by the way, for Sandusky in the third quarter at the 6:53 mark. Quentin starting a 51-yard TD run also. Tyler Isidoric, a pass to Wesley Chapin, 13 yards. And Carter Krause in the fourth, 7-yard run, but Quentin Sartin, 4-yard TD run also. So
you got Isidoric right.
I know. I remember that one. I remember okay. that from years past.
Okay. You
know? And that's spelled Izydoric. So, mm-hmm. yeah. How about this? Good win for Marlette.
Yeah, great win for Marlette. And the key to the game was whenever they needed a big play, they got it. Mm-hmm. And they did a great job of limiting Sandusky's big plays offensively. Now, Sandusky did, you know, they put up big rushing numbers, but a lot of them were on, you know, longer sustained drives, which Sandusky put together a great drive in the second quarter. They had the ball for most of the second quarter. I believe they scored around the 3-minute mark. And then the defense gets the ball back to the offense with 2 minutes and 11 seconds left. And unfortunately, Sandusky had to punt. And Logan Malloy, with a great play on special teams, he takes the punt back all the way to the Sandusky 18-yard line. And at that point, Marlette didn't even try and hide it. You know, they were like, okay, we're throwing to the end zone. We got less than a minute. We're going to try and get it into the end zone. And that score right before the half, that was huge. And it was we've seen it this year with Marlette. And it says a lot about Quentin Sartin, the athlete that he is and the ability that he has. When Marlette is looking to pass, Trey Lester comes in at quarterback. Quentin Sartin moves out to wide receiver. And, you know, Marlette was basically forcing the ball to Quentin Sartin on those plays. And, you know, credit to Sandusky, they did break up one of them. But, you know, they finally find the end zone. And that's the second game of the season that Sartin has had rushing and receiving touchdowns. Yeah. So that was a huge play set up by Malloy. And then, you know, in the second half, Quentin Sartin's his 51-yard touchdown, that was on a 3rd and 16. You know, Marlette needed a big play, and they got it. And then the trick play, that was a fourth down. That was... You know, Marlette needed a score bad at that point. And, you know, Coach Lester said that was something that they put in last week. They put some stuff in for Ubley that they didn't necessarily get to use. Just a perfectly drawn up play with Quentin Sartin pitches it to Isidoric. Isidoric runs out to the right and then drops back to pass, finds Wesley Chapin wide open in the end zone. That was just a great play, great execution by Marlette. The other thing we've talked about Wesley Chapin. And Coach Lester, he said after the game, he said, you know, we've struggled getting him the ball. And we know that he has the ability to make big plays for us. So it was a concerted effort to get him the ball. And it was so huge to, you know, on, it wasn't Marlette's first possession, but on their second possession, the first score of the game was a long touchdown run by Wesley Chapin. And then on the next possession, he had a big run. And if Marlette can continue to figure out how to work him into the offense, they're going to be a very tough team to stop, because Logan Malloy and Tyler Isidoric are both great out of the backfield. And if you add that extra weapon and then you move Sarton to receiver and you got Trey Lester playing quarterback, there's a lot of different things you can do with this offense. And Quinn Sarton had one of the best games I've seen him play. He did have an interception in the first quarter, but that was a great play by Tyler Bush from Sandusky. But he did a great job on his reads. He was making big plays. He was good on the defensive side of the ball as well. So Marlette, they're a good football team. They got a little beat up by Ubley last week. Weeks ago. But
don't forget, they were in that game too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can't take anything away from Sandusky either.
And they did throw an interception in this game too, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, Sarton. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but you know, you can't take anything away from Sandusky either. They executed their offense exactly how they wanted to in the first half. And then in the second half, when they got put in situations where they were chasing points, they made big plays. And Carter Krause, 4 touchdowns. He's got 11 touchdowns on the season. He had one big long run in the first quarter for a touchdown. Other than that, you know, kind of shorter touchdowns. But Tyler Bush was pretty impressive at quarterback, just a sophomore. He was running around a little bit. I think he had 60-something rushing yards. And he had a beautiful throw to Ethan Viscogliosi in the fourth quarter there.
Nice job there, by the way.
Thank you. but, you know, Sandusky, still a great football team. This was just a classic battle between Sandusky and Marlette. And for Marlette, you're going to need some help. You're going to need somebody to beat Ubley. And unfortunately, Ubley's already beaten Marlette and Harbor Beach. If you're Sandusky, you still got it. You got all of it in front of you. You got Harbor Beach and Ubley still on the schedule. You got Bad Axe this week. And I think Sandusky's definitely still in the conversation. I think it's a team that can compete with Ubley. And if you're Marlette, I mean, that offense was impressive. It was impressive. And they're gonna continue to do great things. Now, they got to go up to Harbor Beach this week. So let's see if they can continue. But this was one of the better games that I've seen Marlette play in quite some time.
Is this game winnable for Marlette? You think they can pull it off?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, obviously I'm the Satellite County homer, but no, Marlette's offense is elite. The defense has taken big strides. Again, that's something we've talked about. They've been focusing on improving that defense, and they've done so. And the offense is just, it's clicking right now, man. So Marlette, Sandusky, they're both still going to be factors in the East, but you got Ubley at top still. So.
Yeah. 29 rushes for Marlette, 230 yards to Sandusky's 279, 48 yards passing for Sandusky, 31 for Marlette. That's all they had. They did have a turnover, interception and a fumble, it looks like. Marlette did, as well as Sandusky.
Yep, Sandusky fumbled on their first possession of the game, but past that, you know, Sandusky's offense looked really good. It was just you know, tough start, but it didn't really cost them, because once Marlette scored, Sandusky scored. So yeah, you know, it was another key thing when you look at the end of the game. Marlette was just about perfect on their 2-point conversion. They might have been perfect, because you know, every time Sandusky would answer, they needed a stop on a 2-point conversion, because it kept going from, you know, it would be a 10-point game. And but yeah, Sandusky battled all night, and this game wasn't really over until about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Quentin Sarton, 13 carries, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tyler Isidoric, 76 yards rushing. Wesley Chapin,
No.
Chapin, 67 yards and a touchdown.
Put some respect on his name, Eddie.
Hey, try to say my real name. 19
I can
carries.
Spell it.
Can you?
Yeah, F-U-R-Y.
Carter Kraus, 19 carries, 102 yards and 4 touchdowns. Jackson Renke, also second leading rusher for Sandusky, is 76 yards. Sandusky up against Bad Axe this week. Marlette at Harbor Beach, that is a big game this week.
Real quick with Sandusky, Tyler Franzel had 8 tackles for the defense, and he had one of the hardest hits that I've seen all season. He's a monster out there. So, had to throw that in there. Sorry.
Good luck to both teams there. As we check on the weather forecast and back more with Greater Thumb Conference Talk here on Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show.
Forecast for the rest of this Monday. It'll be a mix of clouds and sunshine, but high temperatures limited to the 60s, 64 to 66. For tonight, a few clouds, low temperatures 47 to 49. And then for the day Tuesday, partly sunny, highs 68 to 71. And for Wednesday, sun and clouds mix, highs 74 to 77. Our meteorologist, John McMurray, at the Country 92.5 Weather Center.
Attention, fellow Thumbbillies. If you're tired of changing the radio station every time a car dealer starts screaming at you about this month's awesome deal, or if you're tired of all the games, gimmicks, and unrealistic lease deals that hardly anyone qualifies for, and if you're looking for a born and raised local sales guy that has built his reputation and career on being totally transparent and taking care of his customers before and after their sale, well, look no further than Moore Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Carroll, Michigan. Denny King, the King of Cars, is here to assist you with your automotive needs. I'm born and raised in the Thumb. For almost 30 years, I've been loving what I do, taking care of customers and making friends along the way. So give me a shout, stop in and ask for me, and get the best deal possible, all while enjoying no pressure, no games, no gimmicks, and a change of pace from the average dealers. This has been the King of Cars again, Denny King at Moore Motors in Carroll, and I can't wait to earn your business on your next vehicle and show you why you get more at Moore Motors.
All across the Thumb and Blue Water area, there's one propane supplier that's ready to serve you. It's Kohler Propane, with locations in Brown City, Memphis, and Bad Axe. Kohler Propane, where they strive to keep your fuel bill down and provide you with the best possible service. They guarantee their propane prices for one full year. There's free tank inspection and free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. If you are not a current Kohler customer, now's the time to make the switch and call Kohler's. Whether it's propane for your home's heating system or for your farm or business, they're ready to serve you. Remember, Kohler's covers the entire Thumb and Blue Water area. For information, call toll-free 800-572-2191. That's 800-572-2191. Or visit getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky invites you to join the team. Get active and meet new friends. Fall bowling team registration is going on now. There are openings for ladies' leagues on Monday evening and Wednesday morning, men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evening, and mixed leagues for Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Beginners are welcome. For more information, call 810-648-9860 or stop at Liberty Lanes. Oh, yes. Liberty Lanes is also hiring for all positions. Stop in and apply at Liberty Lanes, West Park, Sandusky.
All right, welcome back to Thumb Sportsline Radio High School Sports Show. There we go. I got the title again there, Mike Gallagher. What are you leaving me? You can talk here, you know.
You got Paul Adams now. What do you need me for?
Paul Adams of the Huron County View on the line. We're going to pull him away from whatever he's doing right now. What are you doing right now?
Actually, nothing. I just finished up all my work.
Okay.
Wow.
Mondays are quite busy, so when Mike put the call out, I answered. Like, you know, he had the bad signal, and I responded.
Well, okay.
Now that you're done with work, we got more work for you.
Oh, this isn't work. This is fun.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. So was the Ubley game against Harbor Beach fun because it was homecoming night for Ubley? Obviously fun for Ubley because they ran away with this game and got the big win 56-20. Was it pretty much dominating fashion here for Ubley, or did Harbor Beach kind of give them a game at first?
You know, it was pretty dominating, Eddie. You know, it was 14-0. Ubley scored on the first two drives. The first drive was a pretty lengthy, you know, classic Ubley drive. Luke Vollmering scores on a 2-yard touchdown. And then the second drive is really where Ubley got their stuff together. It got stalled on fourth down, and after the third down play failed, Coach Eric Sweeney called the timeout. And I've known Coach Sweeney for 20 years, and this is hot as I've ever seen him. He was very, very upset. Felt like his line wasn't blocking. So on the very next play, Camden Peruski takes the very next play for 49 yards. Ubley goes up 14-0. Harbor Beach did show their big play capability on their ensuing possession. Benson Harper hauled in a 69-yard catch, and I mean, he bobbed and weaved his way down the field, down to the 1-yard line, and then Caden Buchholz cashed it in for the 1-yard dive, and it was 14-6, and that was really as close as it got. Ubley scored the next three touchdowns, led 35-6 after three quarters. Fourth quarter was kind of a shootout, but Ubley was never in jeopardy. And really, the telling number, the only numbers you really need to know is Ubley rushed for 456 yards, and Harbor Beach rushed for 90. I mean, that is mind boggling. You know, granted, Harbor Beach did throw for over 170 yards. Caden Buchholz had 132 of those yards. Benson Harper, he displayed his athleticism. He had four catches for 137 yards, but Ubley made Harbor Beach one-dimensional. And that one dimension is pretty good, but it's still not good enough to beat Ubley. Ubley did a tremendous job defensively taking away the run. Benson Harper, coming into this game, had a couple of really good games in the backfield, including one against Cass City. But he couldn't get anything going, and the other backs really couldn't get anything going. There were no sustained long runs. And on the flip side, Ubley had at least two scores. Evan Peruski had two scores of over 60 yards. I just mentioned Camden Peruski with a 49-yard score. Colin Ostentoski had a 60-yard score. So to kind of sets the tone. Not only was Ubley, you know, controlling the line of scrimmage, but they were able to break big plays too, which, you know, the Wing T isn't known as a big play offense, but there were a number of big plays, probably more than I can remember seeing in a game of this caliber. Normally these are long sustained drives, but there was a lot of just big plays. So it was very impressive. I thought Ubley really opened some eyes. I expected Ubley to win, but 56 points, I didn't expect that. That's the second most points that Ubley has ever scored on Harbor Beach. You have to go back to 1959 when Ubley beat Harbor Beach 62-0. That's so kind of puts in perspective what Ubley did on Friday night. This was a statement game. It was a real eye opener for me.
Yeah, Harbor Beach had to go to the air. 166 yards passing. Haven't seen that in a while. Six completions, by the way, on nine attempts. One interception, one touchdown passing, just two touchdowns rushing-wise for Harbor Beach, just 90 yards and 29 carries. But Evan Peruski, man, 175 yards for Ubley on nine carries. On nine carries, that's average of 19 yards.
This is what we're used to seeing. I mean, if you look at last year, he's our reigning all-time player of the year. he averaged 15 yards a carry last year and showed that again in this game. His big play capability is probably better than almost any player that we have in the area, because anytime he touches the ball, he can take it to the house. And you can't say that about every player. But when Evan Peruski gets out in space, it is usually game over. The only unfortunate thing in this game is on that 64-yard touchdown that he had in the fourth quarter. He came up a little gimpy towards the end of that run. He did score, but we did not see him again. And it's pretty easy to speculate what happened, because in the spring, Evan Peruski was dealing with a hamstring injury that he suffered in track and field. And I fear that injury popped up again. And, so it's going to be interesting to see what Ubley does. If you are going to get injured, now is a good time because you have Memphis coming up. So I think Ubley will probably take this opportunity to rest up Evan Peruski and get him healthy for the stretch run.
Okay, so up next for the Ubley Bearcats, they have the fortunate task to take on the challenging Memphis Yellow Jackets. Harbor Beach in a tough game also against Marlette. Marlette coming off a big win over Sandusky, was undefeated at one point. Marlette beating Sandusky on their home field. And so this is an interesting game with Marlette. They need a bounce back. And Marlette, hey, they got beaten by Ubley. They would sure like to beat Harbor Beach and maybe sneak their way back in and maybe hope for Sandusky to pull off a win over Ubley in a couple weeks or 3 weeks.
Well, that would be their only scenario. But I'll say this for Harbor Beach. This is exactly what happened to the Pirates last year. Started 3-0, lost to Ubley, and then won out in the regular season. I still see that as very much a possibility. Even though this was a very lopsided score, Harbor Beach is a really good team. I think Harbor Beach is the second-best team in the Greater Thumb Conference. I just think Ubley is that much better than everybody else in the Greater Thumb Conference right now. To beat the second-best team by 36 points, That is a massive, massive statement win for Ubley. But I think Harbor Beach is going to be just fine. Just a young team. Buchholz is a sophomore. Harper's a sophomore. They got their tails kicked. Coach Shelke told them, we're gonna learn from this. We're gonna get better. I believe him. He's been around the game a lot longer than me. Harbor Beach is going to be just fine. I think Ubley is going to be just fine as well.
How about the Bad Axe Hatchets? They got the win this past week over Memphis. Can they sneak back in here somehow? I know they're 1-2 in league play, but can they? Are they getting better? Can they pull off a win against either some of the teams they haven't met up yet in the Greater Thumb East?
I don't know. You know, Bad Axe is a really hard team for me to gauge. Here's what I'll tell you about Bad Axe: they're not an easy win. But they have a tendency to get a little bit worn out by the second half. They're not a very deep team. And I've seen them a couple times and just kind of just run out of energy in the second half. That's not a knock on them. It's just that, you know, the roster's not there. And they're asking a lot of guys like Alex Andrich and Nathan Pulaski and A.J. Fritz and you know, a few other guys to really do a lot on both sides of the ball. I mean, just for example, Eddie, Alex Andrich ran for 107 yards, threw for 59 yards, and led the team with 13 tackles. That is a lot to do for one young man. I'm sure he slept pretty well on Saturday because he didn't get any plays off. So to answer your question, I think they could be a factor. I think they could knock off a Marlette or a Sandusky.
Who they meet this week. So, yeah, it's a critical game for Sandusky, but also for Bad Axe. They want to try to sneak in with some playoff points here.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, now Bad Axe at 2-2, facing Sandusky, who's 3-1. This is a must-win for Bad Axe. If you have any playoff aspirations whatsoever, you absolutely have to come home on homecoming and win this game.
Yeah, but
I think they can do it. They have, I'll say this, against Harbor Beach in that loss against Harbor Beach, they put up numbers against Harbor Beach. They can run the ball. They have returned to their roots. They're running a modified single wing. The players feel comfortable with it, and they will move the ball against everybody that they, or at least so far, against everybody that they face. So You know, I have no doubts that they will move the ball and put up numbers against Sandusky. It's just a matter of, can they sustain drives and finish drives in the red zone? That's one thing that's really hampered Bad X this year, is finishing drives. They've been able to get into the red zone, but not get points out of those possessions.
Yeah, but this is a tough stretch for Bad X. Sandusky this week, then they got Ubley September 29th, and then Marlette. What a tough stretch.
This is definitely the wrong year to move into the Greater Thumb East. Bad X would much rather be facing the Vassars and Carrolls and USAs of the world than Marlette, Sandusky, and Ubley. But that's just what happened, and it's definitely a tough road ahead.
All right, let's talk about the Lakers. They are in the Greater Thumb West. They defeated Unionville Sebring 51-14. You know, they're back in a West play. They had their troubles back in week two against Ubley. They got shut out there 42-0. And, since then, other than the loss to Millington also in week one, it's kind of, bounced back here as they get back into the West play. Later on this coming week, they will have Carroll. Can Carroll pull something off? But Carroll got a big win over Vassar in a comeback, 34-7. Where they were down earlier in the first half, 7-6. I know it's a long stretch here, but the Lakers against Carroll this week, and then they will have, of course, a showdown further down on October 6th against Cass City. But you don't want to look past the Carroll team that I think could be a dangerous team for anybody right at this point.
Yeah, I agree, Eddie. I don't know if you have the stats in front of you about what young Jace Sears did against USA on Friday night. But are you ready for this? This kid had himself a game. He scored in almost every facet that you can score in. He rushed for 131 yards, 8 carries, 3 touchdowns. He completes 8 of 11 passes for 144 yards and a touchdown. Has a pick 6, kicks a 26-yard field goal, and is 5 of 5 or 4 of 5 on PAT. That is one of the most insane lines I've ever seen from a football player in my area. And that's the second week in a row he's done something like that. So Jay Spears has really found himself, and the Lakers are going to go as far as he goes. They're in a stretch right now where they can get back in it after starting 0-2 against, with losses against Millington and Ubley. You know, they've rebounded. They're getting kind of finding themselves, finding their rhythm. And, hoping to keep that going. But this Carroll team, Rob McDaniel's over there and kind of trying to turn the culture around in Carroll. And, they're 2-2. So this is definitely got the Lakers' full attention going into Carroll.
Okay, so that's in the Greater Thumb West. And the rest of the West this week, you have Reese versus Vassar, Carroll against Lakers, and Cass City against Unionville Sebring. I think Cass City's going to win this game against USA. I think
honestly, Cass City and US or Cass City and Lakers are on a collision course for that October 6th matchup. I really don't see a scenario where either one of them slip up. I think they go into that game. It's going to be a winner take all for the Greater Thumb West over in Cass City.
Okay, and I did mention also that Cass City did beat Reese last week, 38-6. Lakers over USA 51-14. We just talked about Jay Sears and Carroll over Vassar 34-7. This week it's Reese versus Vassar. Interesting game there. Carroll against Lakers and Cass City versus Unionville Sebring. Paul Adams of the Huron County View. You have anything to report in your county about any volleyball, cross country you want to mention or anything?
Oh, you put me on the spot. I was here to talk. football mode.
I do want to know something. The Caseville girls volleyball team, what can you tell me about them?
They're an exciting group. I think they're chasing after a league championship this year for sure. I saw them play North Huron last week. Best energy I have seen from a volleyball team and from the fans. I'm going over there again on Thursday. They face their rival Owen Gage. Mm-hmm. Really looking forward to that matchup. Caseville's just got a nice mix of athletes over there on the volleyball team. They're very exciting. Just kind of a really fun team to watch. Just a fun culture right now. cross country wise, I've got a young man from Harbor Beach. His name is Brody Card. He's my best runner. Low 17s. He's just about to break into the 16s. I got another male runner from Lakers, Kay Trubner. He's right on his heels. Those two, they've been neck and neck at every race they've been in. And then I've got a rising star from Lakers, a freshman girl named Piper Braun. She had a fantastic showing over in Holly this past weekend, and she is just chopping 30 seconds off her fastest times every time I update my top 15. So she is really rapidly rising. She's our number two cross-country athlete right now. So big things coming out of Lakers. As far as cross-country goes, their boys team has an excellent team. And then Harbor Beach's boys team, excellent team. They're looking to challenge for leagues and regional championships. So we've got some really good cross-country in this area.
All right, and I might get a chance to see the Caseville girls against Carson with Port Chandler tomorrow myself. So get a chance to see Caseville girls volleyball team tomorrow myself. So, yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Paul Adams of the Huron County View. You have anything to say to him?
No, my mic was off. So.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I'll see you around, Paul.
Hi, Mike. Bye, Mike.
Okay, see you later, Paul.
See you guys.
All right, Paul, I just want to thank him for his perspective on the ugly Harbor Beach backyard brawl. That's Mike Gallagher, the actual host of the show. We'll be right back. We're late in the news, but we're going to take a news break here and be back with more Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Your source for local news, up-to-the-minute weather, and so much more. This is AM 660, WMIC Sandusky, and 95.3 FM, W237 EQ, Sandusky.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
At Tri-County Equipment, they understand that your yard doesn't contain just grass. Your yard is a place where your kids play and your family gathers. Tri-County Equipment, your John Deere headquarters, offers a complete line of riding mowers and zero turns, designed to give you the best lawn possible so you can continue your outdoor shenanigans. Nothing runs like a deer. Gone are the days of exhausting, time-consuming yard work with the help of a John Deere riding lawnmower, designed with exclusive features like mulch control and a cell deep mower decks. You won't find another quality, budget-friendly lawnmower while still giving you all the bells and whistles. Find the perfect lawnmower for you. Browse the website at TriCountyEquipment.com or stop in at Tri-County Equipment with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Reese, Saginaw, Birch Run, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment.
Welcome back to another hour or less.
Or more.
Oh, no.
Well,
Thumb Sports Line Radio High School Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury and also Mike Gallagher from the Sandlot County News. What's in the paper come Wednesday? Free issue this week?
Nope, not yet. Our sampler edition will be coming up. It's bad that I don't know, but it'll be next month, actually.
Let me look real quick. Yeah, I got an email about it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, how about you buy an ad or two for
that?
Just
did.
Oh, come on, man.
I gotta October
eat.
4th.
I gotta eat, dude.
October 4th.
October 4th. That'll be our sampler edition.
Christy sent me a note about it.
Oh, nice. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Yeah, this week we have some more Croslex soccer. We got Marlette Sandusky football, Brown City football, Croslex volleyball, and, some other stuff. Before we get into the eight-player talk, Eddie, I would like to talk a little bit about some rankings.
Okay.
The latest AP football polls came out about an hour ago.
Are those real?
I'm going to say they're real because we got some teams ranked on
them. Really?
Yeah, the Associated Press rankings. These are for the entire state for each division.
Do we have any Thumb papers that vote on it?
We used to. We don't anymore.
What happened?
I think Paul used to have a vote.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe Schneider. So, somebody used to have a vote. In the AP polls in Division 4, Croslex comes in at number 5. Division 6, Almont at number 2.
Wow.
Division 7, Millington at number 3. Sandusky still receiving votes, so they're really technically honorable mention. Division 8, Ubley, number 3.
Okay.
And then an 8 player.
They're okay.
They're not bad. Only the third best team in the state.
Okay. State semifinals. Right. Three straight years, right?
In Division 1, 8 player football, Brown City comes in at number 6 in the state.
Really?
Mayville comes in at 8 in the state, getting some respect for their 4-0 start. In 8-player Division 2, Deckerville is receiving votes, their honorable mention. So the AP voters not really holding that Brown City loss against them. And then, obviously, the latest Thumb Sports Writers Association polls are out today. Last week, we had a tie for first between Croslex and Ubley. This week, Croslex is all alone in first place.
Wow.
So let me run down this real quick. 11-player Croslex, number 1. Ubley, number 2. Millington stays put at 3. North Branch, this one kind of maybe not surprising, but they move up a spot to number 4 despite the loss. And
tough schedule.
That's, you know, you barely lose to Almont, you know, I guess you get rewarded for it.
My reasoning I moved Ubley this week above Millington was I kind of looked at the first game against Lakers, and I waited a couple of weeks to see what Lakers would do. Ubley scored more points against Lakers. That's why I picked them over Millington.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Croslex with 8 first-place votes. Ubley with 3. Millington with 1. Coming in at 5, Harbor Beach drops down a spot. Marlette moves up 2 spots to 6. Cass City in the same spot at 7. Sandusky drops down 2 spots to 8. Lakers at 9. Bad Axe at 10. And Carroll receiving votes this week. We'll see if they can break into the top 10.
I did give him some votes, yes.
Yeah, you know, that's, yeah. And then taking a look at the 8-player rankings, Brown City all alone in first place. They got 11 out of the 12 first-place votes. Deckerville checks in at number 2. Mayville with the other first-place vote. They're sitting at 4-0. They are in a tie for third place with Kingston. And then Akron Fairgrove at 5. Caseville picked up a couple votes.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though they got blanked this week?
I think someone might have forgotten about Akron Fairgrove.
Well, did you say who?
Oh, I don't know who. I don't know. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I thought you wanted me to narc on whoever voted for Caseville.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's not. It's supposed to be Secretville. It's whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I have no problem telling what I omitted Cassidy by mistake. I let Paul know about this last night.
Okay.
It's like, ooh, wait. You know, because what I did, I switched a spot is what I did.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Something doesn't look right. And I thought about it, and it kept bothering me. And I messaged Paul. I was like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Fix it. I hope he did. So.
Yeah.
I didn't want to neglect Cassidy's success so far, so.
Yeah, I think my poll looks pretty similar to how they shook out. I had Marlette a little bit higher. I believe I had them at 4 or 5, but I mean, honestly, you could flip-flop Marlette or Harbor Beach, even North Branch. Yeah. It's hard with North Branch. You don't really know what to do with North Branch because while they are 2-2, they have some nice wins, and their losses are not bad losses.
Yeah.
But I think I had North Branch 5 or 6, and then, you know, the bottom, you know, Lakers, Bad Axe, Carroll. I don't have a problem with any of those ones receiving votes at the bottom there.
This is what I did. I'll let it out. Then you can lambast me. You're an idiot. I am an idiot. I know that. Brown City.
Your vote counts just as much as everyone else's. Brown City, Deckerville, Kingston.
Okay.
Mayville.
Akron Fairgrove.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Caseville.
I was going to put Mayville above Kingston, but I said, well, they haven't played each other yet.
It's, you know,
it schedule been, you know,
it's kind of interesting with the polls because do you reward a team for going undefeated or do you look at the strength of schedule?
Yeah.
You know, there's really no guidelines to it.
And it's just a weekly poll.
It's just for fun. I mean, I know it's bulletin board material and everything, but, you know, I have no problem with Mayville being ahead of Deckerville or Kingston. Now, that's not to say this isn't a ranking of who's the best team. The way I do the polls, I think it's, you know, what team has done the most so far. Otherwise, it would be kind of pointless if you just said, okay, you know, they're the best team. It doesn't matter what they do; they're staying there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 8-player poll, you know, Brown City, Deckerville, Mayville, Kingston. You could put them in any order. Although I do think Brown City is the number one team because they have beaten Deckerville and Kingston.
Yes.
But Mayville, I think I have to think. I may have put them at 2 just because they were 4-0. But they're going to have the opportunity to prove if they're the second best team or not, or if they're the first best team, because they still have Brown City, Deckerville, and Kingston left on the schedule. So,
yeah, and if we have, I used to do a thumb, you know, for intents and purposes, I own Thumb Chugger, a sports webcast. I've been doing it for a while, but the other guy's been handling it since I handle St. Lac broadcast. And I used to do our own little poll because we had covered all the BWAC and and you know, Elmont be right up there up top at this point.
Yeah, okay. So I had seen a comment on Facebook today asking where Elmont was. They are outside of our coverage area for the Thumb Sports Writers Association. Thumb Sports Writers Association covers Huron, Sanilac, and Tuscola counties. Right. So if you're outside of that, then you're not in the polls.
We've had arguments and who to else to include, but you know, or have different divisions of polls.
The map was drawn long before I was covering sports around here. So that's
We just
and I have no complaints about it either. I'm just saying that's just how it is.
But yeah, that's how the poll is put up with our Thumb Sports Writers / Media Association. Okay. Yeah. My votes for the 11. Well, I'll just give you. Did I go through 11 player? No, I didn't.
Nope, you did your 8 player poll.
Oh, okay. So I had Croswell, Lexington, Ubley, Millington, North Branch, Harbor Beach, Marlette, Sandusky, Lakers, Bad Axe. And then, of course, Cass City would be above Lakers because I had to fix it.
You forgot them,
yeah. And then Lakers and Bad Axe. And then, you know, I said honorable mention, I'll throw Carroll in there to vote.
And you know, it's kind of tough with Croslex, Ubley, Millington because they all play completely different schedules. So really, you know, you could make an argument for any of those three teams being the top team, because again, it's not. I don't see it as could Croslex beat Ubley, because I don't think that you can't really have that conversation. I have no problems with any of those three teams being on the top. And this week, all three of them got votes for first place. So I figure we'll probably see a little bit more of that as Millington and Ubley and Croslex continue to win games. So.
Now, if I had a Santa broadcasting BWAC or like a poll, I think I'd probably have Elmont right there.
Oh, yeah, you'd have
number
to.
One.
Yeah,
then Croswell, Lexington.
Yeah. I'm still the Croslex homer, so.
I'm kind of using Almont's victory over Croswell last year to carry over to this year.
That's fair. And, you know, Elmont hasn't – the win against North Branch was their first really, you know, I don't want to say good win, but, you know, the first 3 weeks they didn't really face too much competition.
Yeah. They had Marysville.
Whereas Croslex has played Richmond and Armada. But, again, I mean, it's – everybody does the polls a little bit differently, and, you know, if you feel disrespected by it, just, you know, don't tell us about it. I'll get sad, and I don't want
and
that.
And you guys know what I say all the time. Polls, schmoles.
Yep.
Okay.
It'll all figure itself out by the end of the season.
And I don't care. It's just, I don't care about the polls. Yeah.
Well, that's good that you're a voter, then.
Yeah. All right. That was a lot of talk about polls, schmoes.
Yeah, we.
What a waste of time. We're coming back with high school 8-player football talk here in just a quick few seconds here on Thumb Sports Line Radio, High School Sports Show. Anything to talk about? Volleyball, or did I ask you? Cross country? You
want to get off your chest? I got some volleyball
stuff.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, you want to do it right now?
Yes, we can do it right now. We could go right up to
you're
the...
You're going to send me to commercial, or what?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was at Marlette Sandusky last week. You know, it's a rivalry week with the football game and the volleyball game. Saw some nice things out of Sandusky, but Marlette is the cream of the crop in the Greater Thumb East this year. And, you know, they proved it when push came to shove at the end there against Sandusky. Gabby Martinez had another great game. I believe she had 22 kills, and that was just in 3 sets. That was a sweep for Marlette.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the Greater Thumb East, I think Sandusky is going to be a much improved team this year. They already have wins over KPAC and Harbor Beach. That was their first loss in East play against Marlette. So Sandusky's going to be good. I've seen a lot of great things from Brown City. the last week, they picked up a win against Memphis to start the week. Unfortunately, they lost to Ubley in five sets on Thursday. I still think in the Greater Thumb East, and obviously I don't know much about Ubley, but I do think if there is going to be a team that's going to compete with Marlette, it will be Brown City, because they're well coached and they have a lot of talent this year. It'll just be, you know, see if they can put it all together. Because Brown City played Marlette tough last year when they were a little bit down. You know, Peck picks up a sweep over Mayville. That's a nice win to open up league play. Deckerville picked up two wins. Beat North Huron and Owen Gage. But the big thing this week, this past week, actually, Croswell-Lexington. Croswell-Lexington volleyball, Eddie. They are... They played at Imlay City last week. Coming into the game, Imlay City was ranked number 10 in Division 2. And Croslex wins in five sets. But listen to these scores.
Okay.
Croslex loses the first set 25-20. They win the second one 25-18. Third set, they win 26-24. So that's, you know, that's a hard-fought win right there. The fourth set, Imlay City comes out and wins 25-9. Kind of a letdown for Croslex in the fourth set. Croslex comes back and they win the fifth set 21-19. Now you're probably asking yourself, isn't the fifth set to 15 points? Yes, it is, Eddie.
Yes.
But you got to win by two. So
right.
That was a back and forth,
yes,
just a battle against Imlay City. And as the saying goes, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. So Imlay City was ranked 10th by the Michigan the MIVCA last week. They were ranked number 10. Croslex beats Imlay City, and this week Croslex is number 10 in the polls. So they are finally getting some recognition with the win against Imlay City. Croslex is 24-3 overall. They are 2-0 in BWAC play. Let me run down some numbers from the Imlay City game. Bella Edwards, 17 kills. Brooke Bowlesby, 10 kills, 4 blocks. Annalise Weeder, 42 assists, 18 digs, 4 blocks, 2 aces. Riley Robertson, 26 digs, 43 serve receptions, 2 aces. Ava Oleski, 14 kills, 21 serve receptions, 6 digs. And the last senior, Michaela Rice, 12 digs, 9 serve receptions. So we've talked about it briefly on the show. It's tough for Croslex because in the BWAC, you got North Branch sitting at the top.
Yeah.
In your district, you got North Branch waiting for you. But if you look at North Branch's run to the state finals last year, their toughest match was against Imlay City. So the fact that Croslex went into Imlay City, came away with a hard-fought win, I'm not ready to say that Croslex can beat North Branch because that's, you know, North Branch is North Branch. And I get called Homer enough. So if I say Croslex is going to beat North Branch, but we at least know that Croslex is a pretty dang good volleyball team.
They are.
They've played 27 games already, so they've got a lot of experience already on the season. They've got 4 great seniors in Bella Edwards, Annalise Weeder, Riley Robertson, and Michaela Rice. They've been in tough situations before, and they've battled like we saw against Imlay City last week. And if they're not the even if they're the second best team in the BWAC, they're a very good volleyball team.
Highly anticipated matchup coming up on October 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That's at North Branch. And before that, they'll be at Brown City, so a little bit of a tough competition that week for Croswell-Lexington.
Okay.
That's in October, though. They got Elmont and Richmond coming up, Port Huron Northern. I think it might be missing
some. Now, one of their losses was to Richmond. That was very early in the season. Right. But that just
was at a tournament?
That was at a tournament. Okay. But that just goes to show how good the BWAC is. It's improved so much over the past few years. Right. And I don't know if that says more about people chasing North Branch, or I don't know what the reason for that is, but the BWAC is one of the top-tier conferences for volleyball, and I'm excited to see how Croslex navigates its way through the conference.
Okay, we spent a lot of time in volleyball and some country, cross-country talk there.
Yeah, we'll get a little bit more into the cross-country as we start to cover them more.
Wagner is coming up here in a couple weeks,
Wagner
right?
Wagner Park will be not this weekend, but next weekend.
Okay.
I will say Marlette boys, they picked up a runner-up finish at the Reese Invite last week. That's a nice win. nice runner-up, but Croslex went to the MSU Spartan Invite on Friday, and they got a runner-up finish in their division. Eva Thompson, we've talked about her on this show. She's made a name for herself through her freshman and sophomore seasons. This year, in every race so far, she's set a new season best. So she's getting better and better. But for Croslex, it's not just Eva Thompson. It's Morgan Newton, Bryn Hurley, Abigail Barkley. It's Coach Shaw has a very solid top seven girls. They're looking to defend their regional title. It's been a while since they had won a regional title. They finally break through last year. They're looking to defend that. They won their first BWAC Jamboree of the year season last week. So that's going to be a team to look out for, not only on the local level, but at the state level as well.
Okay. And as Macho Man would say, we talked volleyball.
Dig it. Okay. I was wondering where you were going with
dig
that.
It.
Okay.
He's saying dig it.
Dig it.
Okay. All right.
You laid your hands on Elizabeth.
Okay. I had to. It's Monday Night Raw. Did you see The Rock on Friday night?
Oddly enough, I did. Yeah,
he came out on SmackDown. Yeah, that was just blew
and then
the
he
house
was
down.
On the sidelines for the Colorado.
That's right.
Game
How
on
about
Saturday?
That Colorado Buffalo team? I love Prime. What Deion Sanders is doing there, man.
All
they
right.
keep counting them out, but he's got some competition. USC, and some,
Oregon. Yep.
Yes, coming up here. All right, this is Sportsline Radio. We'll be right back. That's Mike Gallagher. I'm Eddie Ferry. We kind of went off the path there, but we wanted to kind of touch on that stuff. Coming back, high school eight-player football talk here on Sportsline Radio.
A forecast for the rest of this Monday. It'll be a mix of clouds and sunshine, but high temperatures limited to the 60s, 64 to 66. For tonight, a few clouds, low temperatures 47 to 49. And then for the day Tuesday, partly sunny, highs 68 to 71. And for Wednesday, sun and clouds mix, highs 74 to 77. I'm meteorologist John McMurray at the Country 92.5 Weather Center.
Hello, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. You know, my staff and I are here to answer questions all year round. Plus, I wanted you to know that we now have exciting new products available that you may be eligible to enroll in anytime during the year, regardless of health, age, or income. So call our office for an appointment. It's nice to know that during these hard times, there are some things made easier.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
It's September. The leaves are beginning to change, the evenings are cooler, and Friday nights mean high school football. At Thumb Cellular, we're celebrating this special time of year by sharing some great savings with you. During the month of September, all Samsung Galaxy phones are on sale, with some marked down $450 from their regular retail price. But that's not where the savings end. They're also hosting an accessory sale. Spend $30 on any combination of accessories and save $10. Take your pick of chargers, cases, wireless speakers, headsets, screen protectors, and more. If it's an accessory at Thumb Cellular, you'll save $10 when you spend $30. But hurry, these savings are only valid during the month of September. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more info, or visit your local office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Offers valid through September 30th, 2023.
Can't wait to communicate with you on the talk of the phone.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Attention, fellow Thumbbillies. If you're tired of changing the radio station every time a car dealer starts screaming at you about this month's awesome deal, or if you're tired of all the games, gimmicks, and unrealistic lease deals that hardly anyone qualifies for, and if you're looking for a born and raised local sales guy that has built his reputation and career on being totally transparent and taking care of his customers before and after their sale, well, look no further than More Motors, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Carroll, Michigan. Denny King, the King of Cars, is here to assist you with your automotive needs. I'm born and raised in the Thumb. For almost 30 years, I've been loving what I do, taking care of customers and making friends along the way. So give me a shout, stop in and ask for me, and get the best deal possible, all while enjoying no pressure, no games, no gimmicks, and a change of pace from the average dealers. This has been the King of Cars again, Denny King at More Motors in Carroll, and I can't wait to earn your business on your next vehicle and show you why you get more at More Motors.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio, high school sports show, The Thumb, Sportsline. What?
You lost it.
Pun intended?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the devil. If you're scared of the devil, we got church services every Sunday, by the way.
Nice.
On WMIC.
Very nice.
Every hour, practically, so, yeah. Wow. Brown City Green Devils with the win over Decorro Eagles. Huge win for Brown City. Things were pretty close in the beginning of the game. We had covering on SAMAC Broadcasting, and along with Mikey Smith and myself. This really was what it was all built up to be, other than the fact that Brown City started running away with it. They really exploded with their offense. Not only can they run the ball, but they can pass the ball, and they did a lot of that. They had to against Decorro, who kind of had the same type of offense. Brown City more of the single wing slash double wing, and they, you know, coming out of the passing game also. You know, looking at Lawson Cooper now compared to what his size was last year, it's kind of cool to see a freshman and then see him grow, especially when he jumped into a sophomore mode, more muscular. Got a little taller, and I think he's still growing at this point.
Yeah.
But, man, he's really led this team, and it's really taking command of the offense here, but also in defense.
Well, and when you look at Brown City, Briar Halbert kind of looking like Kyle Affer out there. Connor Vandenberg kind of looking like Clint Ford out there.
Yeah.
We're seeing some players emerge for Brown City. And, you know, like we said, those first 2 weeks, it was kind of everybody gets the ball. You know, we're going to give a lot of guys different opportunities because those were kind of blowouts. But now, you know, the rubber hits the road. And, you know, these past 2 weeks against Kingston and Deckerville, Connor Vandenberg, he is emerging as a star. And Lawson Cooper, I mean, he's just doing what he does. He had another great game. The stats are very impressive for what he did against a good Deckerville team. Great win for Brown City. You move into the NCTL, and you move into the NCTL Stars division, and you wanna prove that you're one of the top teams in the Thumb. And right off the bat, you get that opportunity. You get to play the defending champs, and you get to play Decorville in Decorville. And Brown City passes both of those tests. And, you know, talking to Coach Cooper, it was because we saw it against Kingston, we saw it against Decorville. Two games that were close in the first half, and Brown City just pulls away in the second half. And it's just a thing where Brown City trusts what they do. The players have bought in. And if they you know, they just say, if we continue to do what we're doing, mm-hmm. it's going to pay off. And we've seen it the last 2 weeks. You know, Brown City just continued to do what they did and pull away in the second half. So
at the end of the first quarter, 0-0.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. So as I mentioned, I was at volleyball that night. And it was about 7:30, and I hadn't heard an update from anybody in the TSA thread. I knew you guys were all there, and I was like, is there a score in this game or what?
Well, there was a score finally at the 3:10 mark in the second quarter.
Yeah,
that's at the 3:10 mark left in the game. That's when I do the Twitter updates. It was 8-0, Brown City lead with number 80, Ryan Binkley-Potts, a one-yard TD, and a two-point run by quarterback Lawson Cooper. Deckerville responded at the minute and 38 mark, second quarter. Quarterback number 7, Hunter Garza, 27-yard TD pass to number 3, Logan Martin, and two-point run by Garza also to tie it up in the second quarter. But then, barely a minute and maybe 13 seconds later, it was 16-8, Brown City. Lawson Cooper, a 43-yard TD pass to Connor Vandenberg, and the two-point by Breyer Halbert to take the lead 16-8, and that's where it was at the half. Decker responded coming out, but it was at the third quarter, 1:04 mark. Deckerville's Hunter Garza, 2-yard TD run and 2-point by Dylan Ball, making it 16-16. And then in the third quarter, with just 4 seconds left, Brown City responded. Quarterback Lawson Cooper scrambles, stays in the pocket, squared up to throw a 67-yard TD pass to number 23, Connor Vandenberg. He gets a 2-point pass. Vandenberg had the yak after to catch 40 yards after that. Very beautiful pass. I just love how he stayed in the pocket and the protection he had around him. Mm-hmm. He had 3 Deckerville players just trying to get in, just great blocking. Cooper just kind of shifted his way a little bit. It's like he'd been watching the NFL or something, you know? Just shift your way a little bit over here. And because, you know, when you're pushing, players are moving side to side. And, Brown City offensive line did a good job on doing that. At the end of the third, it was 24-16. And then Deckerville did come back. In the fourth quarter, 9:58 to go, number 10 Dylan Ball, 16-yard TD run, and a two-point run was no good, however, and it had Brown City with a two-point lead, 24-22. Now, there were some turnovers in this game. Interception and a fumble by Deckerville. Brown City capitalized on both of those in the game. It was 32-22 in the fourth quarter with 8:38 to go. Lawson Cooper, a 17-yard TD and two-point pass to Connor Vandenberg. And then it was at the fourth quarter, Deckerville fumbled at the 7:59 mark, leading Lawson Cooper with a 3-yard TD run and a 2-point pass to Ryan Binkley-Potts. TD set up to the 5-yard line by number 30, Breyer Halbert, for a 50-yard run on that play to make it 40-22. Deckerville got a 13-yard TD run with 2:13 left, 2-point pass, no good. It was 40-28, kind of out of reach at that point. Brown City started taking some knees, and then a timeout called, and Breyer Halbert ran for a 38-yard TD run to end the game 46-28 with 1:04 left. Big win for Brown City.
Big win, and some big numbers to look over. Connor Vandenberg, six catches, 144 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's a big play receiver right there. Nick DeBono, 2 catches for 50 yards. Let's look at Cooper real quick, though. 8 of 10, so 80%. 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then on the ground, 71 yards on 16 carries, 2 touchdowns. And we mentioned Vandenberg, big plays receiving. He also added a interception defensively. Ryan Binkley-Potts, who had the first touchdown of the game, recovers a fumble on the defense. Brian Mulholland, 10 tackles. That's pretty good, especially when you're going up against, you know, Brown City's power run game. We know that Deckerville has opened up the offense a little bit. They are throwing it around more, but at heart, they are a power run team. And Brian Mulholland picks up 10 tackles in, you know, an attempt to shut down that run game. Tanner Gingell, 8 tackles. Ethan Worrell, 8 tackles. Ryan Binkley-Potts, 7 tackles. Again, just a great job by Brown City. I mean, you've passed 2 of the biggest tests of the season. I would say the 2 biggest tests, but we don't know about Mayville yet.
Yeah. This is what I... Yeah, go ahead.
Nope, that you go ahead, buddy.
This is what I know about Mayville. They beat Dryden 48-0, 10-13 for passing, 227 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. So far for the season for Mayville, they've passed at least over 150 yards per game. This was the most passing-wise they had in the air. So far, 722 yards passing, only one interception with 12 touchdown throws also. They also had 163 yards rushing on 25 carries against Dryden.
Okay.
The Mayville Wildcats. I'm going to try to see if there's a name here who's doing the passing. I know Scotty mentioned
if
the
Scotty
name.
Was here, he'd be able to tell us that it's Jace Brown. He's been okay. Putting up big numbers for Mayville. It seems like every year Mayville has a quarterback like that, the dual threat type of guy that can run and throw. And they've got another good one in Jace Brown. So Mayville, they're good at what they do.
They're a
program that you have to respect now because they've won so much, and they've done great things in 8-player football. So Brown City can't look past Mayville, and I know that they won't. But you got to feel pretty good at this point in the season if you're Brown City, getting past Kingston and getting past Deckerville.
Yeah, Jace Brown also rushing wise does a good job. Brady Hogue is another player for the Mayville Wildcats rushing wise for them. He's had so far 248 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. Jace Brown, 6 touchdowns rushing with 215 yards. You have also a junior, Luca Campbell, that can run the ball. So he's near 200 yards rushing for the season thus far. He does have a touchdown himself. A sophomore for Mayville, also Tyrus Davidson. So a variety of players on offense for Mayville. And that's a key when you don't have to stop one player. Now you have to stop 4, 5, 6 different players here, which Brown City has proven to have now.
That's kind of been the recipe for success for Brown City this year. Now, we have seen Connor Vandenberg kind of be the guy in the receiving, and Briar Halbert had his best game of the season rushing the ball. So we are going to see some of these main guys emerge. But, yeah, it'll be nice. It's nice to have so many different weapons. And if you're Mayville, you got K-Pac this week. Again, K-Pac's been playing well, but, you know, give me the Wildcats in that one. And you're looking at 5-0 Mayville against 5-0 Brown City. You know, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. And if you're Mayville, you got Brown City, Deckerville, Kingston, and Ashley to finish up the season. So,
back to that Deckerville game against Brown City. They still put up some good rushing yards. Deckerville did, despite the loss. 45 carries, 257 yards rushing, 97 yards passing. Did have an interception, did have a fumble in the game also. So that was critical. Mm-hmm. And you take those 2 touchdowns away, boom, it's close again.
Right.
So, you know, the good teams will capitalize on those turnovers also.
Well, and that's the thing with Brown City. You know, they just trust what they're going to do. So as long as they keep doing what they're going to do, if the other team makes a mistake, Brown City's going to be there to capitalize on it.
All right, and this is the schedule for this week. Deckerville would like to bounce back, and I think they might. Well, they're going to go up. I think this is probably the toughest game of the week for the NCTL Stars Division is Deckerville versus Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. They got some game.
Probably. Give me Deckerville by a few touchdowns, if not more, though.
K-Pec is up against Mayville. Interesting game there.
Interesting game, yeah.
Yeah. So Mayville, if they win this one, they have a big game against Brown City in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So interesting there. So Dryden's up against Kingston, Brown City, and Burton Atherton also in that one. I think there's a Saturday game, one of those. Or a Thursday game, possibly, yes. The Kingston is at Dryden on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I believe so, yeah. According to what I saw in the schedule today.
Give me the Cardinals to win over the Cardinals.
That's right, they're both Cardinals. Huh? All right, so K-Pec Chiefs against Mayville, Dryden Cardinals against Kingston Cardinals, Brown City against Burton Atherton, and Auburn Hills Oakland Christian up against Deckerville this week in the NCTL Stars Division. When we come back, we got some stripes, and we'll wrap up the show here on Thumb Sportsline Radio, High School Sports Show.
It's September. The leaves are beginning to change, the evenings are cooler, and Friday nights mean high school football. At Thumb Cellular, we're celebrating this special time of year by sharing some great savings with you. During the month of September, all Samsung Galaxy phones are on sale, with some marked down $450 from their regular retail price. But that's not where the savings end. They're also hosting an accessory sale. Spend $30 on any combination of accessories and save $10. Take your pick of chargers, cases, wireless speakers, headsets, screen protectors, and more. If it's an accessory at Thumb Cellular, you'll save $10 when you spend $30. But hurry, these savings are only valid during the month of September. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more info, or visit your local office in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Offers valid through September 30th, 2023.
Can't wait to communicate with you on the talk of the phone.
Are you looking for a powerful and reliable John Deere tractor to tackle your outdoor projects? Look no further. Tri-County Equipment has teamed up with Ben's Great Outdoors to bring you an exclusive offer. With your purchase of a John Deere 1025R or John Deere 3025E, you'll receive a free $500 Ben's Great Outdoors gift card to enhance your outdoor ventures. Why choose John Deere from Tri-County Equipment? John Deere tractors are renowned for their exceptional performance and durability. Whether you're a homeowner with a sprawling garden, a landscaping enthusiast, or a small-scale farmer, the John Deere 1025R and 3025E offer unmatched versatility and efficiency to make your task a breeze. So hurry to your nearest Tri-County Equipment location, buy a John Deere 1025R or 3025E tractor, and get a free $500 gift card to Ben's Great Outdoors. Offer expires September 12th. Tri-County Equipment, with locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Carroll, Bad Axe, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Auburn Hills.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
We're turning up the heat with summer pandemonium at the ABS Tech Team. Head to your nearest Tech Team location in Pigeon or Sandusky and fire up the level of your computer security today. The Tech Team has exclusive pricing on Panda Security, a leading provider of virus and malware detection and prevention in the tech industry. With Panda Security, your computer is always up to date on fighting the latest cybersecurity threats, all while running quietly in the background with no impact on your PC's performance. Bring your computer in or have the Tech Team install Panda Security remotely from the comfort of your home. All new Panda subscriptions also come with a $5 discount for a limited time. Don't go unprotected. Give the Tech Team a call today at 888-282-4943 or head to the ABS Tech Team store near you. Terms and conditions apply. The ABS Tech Team, serving the Thumb's technology needs since 2008.
WMIC and WTGV have partnered with McKenzie Health System to give you a chance to relive the timeless music of the gambler himself, Kenny Rogers, live and in person at McKenzie Health System's 2023 Autumn Benefit on Friday, September 22nd at Biagio's in Kingston. This concert event pays tribute to the legacy of Kenny Rogers with a live performance featuring Saginaw Sheriff Bill Fetterspiel bringing Kenny's songs back to life, with special guests Shirley Pratt, Edgar Struble, and members of the Kenny Rogers Group, the actual band that backed Kenny Rogers for over 40 years. From Carnegie Hall to the Grand Ole Opry, playing to over 40 million fans. From now through September 19th, listen for Kenny Rogers, The Gambler, in the 8 a.m., noon, or 5 p.m. hours. Be the fourth caller to get through by dialing 810-648-6600, and you'll win yourself a pair of tickets to the show on September 22nd. And if you don't win, don't despair. We're giving away a grand prize of two tickets to McKenzie Autumn Benefits Dinner Concert on Thursday night. That's a $250 value. To enter for the grand prize, head to our website at satellitebroadcasting.com and click on the Kenny Rogers giveaway banner. Fill out the form and we'll randomly draw one lucky winner on Tuesday, September 19th. Keep it locked right here on WMIC and WTGV for your chance to win tickets to see the original Kenny Rogers Group live at McKenzie Health System's Autumn Benefit Thursday and Friday, September 21st and 22nd.
The sun is setting. It's our final week of the summer season. Get ready for the fall season come Saturday as we wrap up the show here with our NCTL Stripes division. It was in week four. Ashley over at PAC.
Yeah, apologies to the NCT All Stripes fans. We're going to kind of breeze through this because Eddie has to go pick up Lola from work.
Actually, Mrs. Spear is doing that, but you know.
Oh, so we can stay till 9 then.
No.
Good.
Okay. We got Monday Night Football coming up right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to keep it on my fantasy team. Get Deshaun Watson starting for me. I'm going up against Eric Carr.
You should lose just because you have Deshaun Watson starting for you.
What?
I mean.
What? He did okay for me.
Yeah, but come on, man. You got no morals. You'll do anything to win a fantasy title. Is that what it is?
He's been cleared.
Oh, okay.
Okay. More than Mel Tucker has.
That's true. Okay. We're
just a massage.
Let's just.
You're letting it go here.
No, you are.
Okay. Ashley over Peck, 52-8. Ooh.
Yeah. We said this in the opening segment. This isn't your typical Ashley team. This is a team that, you know, since they've been in the NCTL Stripes, not a lot of success. They've had trouble getting numbers. There's been years where they've had to forfeit games.
Yeah.
There was a year, I remember, when they played Peck the last week of the season, and Ashley beat Peck week 9, and then they played each other again in the first round of the playoffs, and Ashley forfeited at halftime down 30-0 because of they had 8 kids and one of them got injured. This is a different Ashley team. This is an Ashley team with a very interesting offense. They throw the ball around, and for Peck that just caused problems because they're such a young team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So that's a tough loss for Peck. That's a Saturday afternoon game. But let me just run down a couple of stats. Carson Liebling, 21 attempts, 113 yards, a touchdown, and a two-point conversion. Gabe Gerber led the defense with 6 tackles and a tackle for a loss. Cal Hayden, 84 yards on the kick return, and he had a 72-yard return to set up the touchdown for Peck. It's a tough loss for Peck, but when you're young like this, you're going to have that every once in a while. And as long as you use this game as a learning experience, you're going to be okay. Unfortunately, you have Bay City All Saints up next. So you better learn from this one pretty quickly because Bay City All Saints has been playing some good football.
Yeah.
They shut out Caseville last week. They hung with Oakland Christian in the first week. You know, really the only Stars versus Stripes matchup that was close. And, you know, we talk about Ashley, Akron, Fairgrove, Bay City, All Saints all being in the hunt in the Stripes. All three of them are at 3-0. I think All Saints might be the most impressive so far. But if you look at Peck, just last week, they were up 2 scores against Akron, Fairgrove at halftime. So we know that Peck is a good team. They just got a little bit, I don't want to say exposed on Saturday because I think Ashley is just a good team. I think they can throw the ball around. They threw the ball around against CPS, and it seems kind of crazy to say just because Ashley hasn't been in that title conversation, but they have to be in that conversation now.
Isn't it bear season?
It is bear season, yes.
Okay, I'm just saying look out, Ashley.
I also have another Ashley and Peck story. So the 1 year, Ashley had forfeited 2 games in a row.
So Ashley's taking on North Huron this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ashley had forfeited 2 games in a row, and then they came back to play the last game of the season against Peck. They had 8 players, and Ashley made the long hike over to Peck, and one of the players forgot his pants.
So, I remember this.
You remember that? And the Ashley kid, he had the Ashley jersey on and the red Peck pants on. So this Ashley football program has come a long way, and they're not in our coverage area, and we don't really know anything about them. But it is nice to see. It's nice to see a program like that kind of revive itself.
Yeah, you know, and nice of a Peck who's always been kind of stand up about. Well, hey, we got a pair of pants. We want to play you.
Oh yeah,
you want to play?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that was cool, and I've seen that happen a couple times.
Yeah,
at Peck, where Peck, we got some white pants here.
I have nightmares like that still sometimes. Yeah, like I'm
having one right now. I forgot mine.
I'm on the bus.
Why wearing my boxers?
To go to a football game, and I forgot my helmet or something. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
All right, so basically, All Saints defeated Caseville 56-0. You mentioned them. They're up against
nice
Peck.
Win.
You're up against nice Peck. Win. Yeah, that's shutting out Caseville. I mean, they got Forrest Gump on the team, right, for Caseville?
Yep.
One of the fastest kids in the thumb. So All Saints 56-0.
In the state. One of the fastest kids in the state.
That's right. Top 10 or
put
top 5?
Put some respect on his name.
Top 10 or top 5?
That's a division champion, or the Division 4 champion in the 400.
Okay. So basically, the All Saints shuts out Caseville, though. 56-0. I guess he wasn't fast enough there. Ashley with the win over Peck, 52-8. We had North Huron getting the win over Carsonville Port Stanlack, 44-30. Come on, CPS. You were right there.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing about this game, in the first couple games of the season, and it was kind of becoming a trend for CPS where they start off slow and then they get things going later on in the game. Whereas against North Huron, on North Huron's first possession, Tyler Bartley intercepts a pass and returns it for a touchdown. So CPS got off to a solid start. Unfortunately, North Huron did a great job of shutting down the passing game. CPS was able to move the ball a little bit on the ground. Colton Sharp, 17 carries, 74 yards, 3 touchdowns. Alex Schuneman, 10 carries, 44 yards. Bartley, 6 carries, 39 yards. Unfortunately, just 40 yards through the air on 2 completions and 2 interceptions for CPS. Tyler Bartley, 7 tackles, the pick 6, Isaiah Johnson, 10 tackles, Alex Schuneman, 5 tackles. There's still some nice things going on at CPS, and I still think that they're going to pick up that win, and I think it's going to be this week. And I know I've said that every single week on this show, but it's coming. It's coming.
5 years.
Well, okay.
No, you know, listen, for disclosure purposes, my daughter goes to the school.
Yes.
And I go to the games, you know. Mm-hmm. It is a tough situation. They're a small school. Mm-hmm. A lot of heart, though. They have a lot of heart.
Oh,
they
absolutely
come out and they play. Yeah. They love to travel. They like to play the games. They're in some games a lot of the times. It just falls short. Mm-hmm.
That changes this week, Eddie.
It does. Mm-hmm. You think so? They're up against New Haven Merritt.
Yep.
Now, I want to say, in the Stripes division, that is the lowest scoring team on offense with just 18 points so far. Mm-hmm. Carsonville is at the third lowest scoring with 74 points. North Huron, 56. And by the way, they just beat CPS. Mm-hmm. CPS put up 30 points against North Huron.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. CPS has done some nice things.
Yeah.
The offense has looked great at times. The offense was good against Ashley in the second half. CPS did quite a bit better against Ashley than Peck did. The defense has looked good at times for CPS. If they can just put it all together, which I think they have the ability to do, then they should be able to come up with a win. And, you know, looking at the rest of the schedule, they got Peck. That's always a great game. And, I hope they get that first win this week.
Against New Haven Merritt.
I have a feeling they're going to.
You think so?
And maybe that can springboard them into more success as we get into the second half.
The last 2 weeks, CPS, I've been voting for you in my pigskin picks.
My homerism is killing me in the pigskin yes, picks. Yeah. I've picked Peck and CPS wrong, I think, every single week. But
now I
still believe in both of those teams, and they're going to have some success this year.
So CPS against New Haven Merritt this week, September 29th. They have Bay City All Saints. Ooh. And then October 6th, interesting game here. CPS homecoming against Caseville on October 6th. Special night. You know why?
Why?
You know
that,
why?
Eddie?
My daughter's on homecoming court.
There you go.
I got the text message and says, Daddy, you can't do a game on Friday night. I go, why not? You know, I got Sandusky Ubbly that night. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Now she wouldn't tell me, and she goes, you got to walk me out homecoming court.
That's very nice.
I said, you're not going to win.
Come on. Why do you got to ruin a nice moment?
Nah, it's a nice, it's kind of, actually, it's a thank you. It's kind of cool.
It's very cool, yeah.
It's homecoming night. I haven't been to a homecoming type of situation in quite a while because I seem to miss them all the time at certain, but when you're there, it is a lot of festive festivities and all that. So, yeah, that's later on October 6th. So I have to figure out what I got to do. I might have to pull the TTS crew out or some old old folks that do some games, double covers that night.
Even if I have to handcuff you and hold you down, you're taking that night off, man. Yeah. You got to enjoy that night with Lola. That you know.
Yeah. We're setting her up. She's got her dress already. Homecoming court. She's buying donuts and candy bars, kids. I'm just saying.
It helps.
And then I guess my best friend Dave and Rhonda are going to be driving around in a convertible, I guess. So
Very cool.
It should be Haves. Okay. Okay, so the Akron Fairgrove Vikings, they got the win also. Sound the horn, Eddie. The win over New Haven Merritt, 50-18. 18 points by New Haven Merritt against Akron Fairgrove. So Akron Fairgrove has Caseville this week. So how about those Vikings? And look at the Stripes division, Mike. 3-0 is Akron Fairgrove Vikings. Ashley Bears 3-0. All Saints 3-0. Everybody else 1-2. That's Caseville, North Huron, Peck, CPS 0-3, New Haven 0-3 also. You're going to see one of these winless teams like New Haven or CPS to get their first win of the season also. Mm-hmm. So pretty exciting week for the Stripes division. But after Akron Fairgrove Vikings, if they can pull off the win against this week against Caseville, mm-hmm. Anticipated matchup, you don't want to look too far ahead, but they have Ashley coming up here on the 29th.
Okay.
And then North here on October 6th, but All Saints on October 13th also. So, man, some key games there for Akron Fairgrove Vikings as well as All Saints and Ashley. So it's going to be an exciting finish to the Stripes division, which usually just it's done by now.
Yeah. I've had the opportunity to see Akron Fairgrove. I've actually seen Akron Fairgrove twice, and I saw Ashley this past weekend. I still think Akron Fairgrove is I think Akron Fairgrove is better than Ashley. The big question mark is Bay City All Saints. Yeah. But if you look at what they've done so far this season, you could say that All Saints is the favorite. I saw a lot of really nice things from Akron Fairgrove, and I'm hoping that this is their year.
All right. Good luck to all the teams. Week 5 action, our game of the week. It's Yale at Croswell Lexington, 6:30 p.m. this coming Friday, live on WBGV 92.5 and streaming online. Other big games in the BWAC. Other than Yale at Croswell Lexington, our coverage area, we have Armada at Elmont this week, North Branch at Algonac, Richmond at Emily City, Greater Thumb Conference, it's Reese at Vassar, it's Homecoming, Unionville, Seabuin at Cass City, that would be on WOW Sports, Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers at Carroll, interesting game there, Marlette at Harbor Beach, huge game there also, battle for second place, Sandusky at Bad Axe, critical game for both Sandusky and Bad Axe in that one.
Give me the Wolves.
Memphis at Ubley. High school weight player, Kingston at Dryden. It says it's on Thursday, 6 o'clock. Brown City at Burton Atherton. Dackerville at Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Mayville at KPEC. All Saints at Peck. Carsonville, Port Sanlac at New Haven Merritt. Akron Fairgrove at Caseville and North Huron at Ashley. That is our Sanlac Broadcasting coverage area. The Blue Water Area Conference, Greater Thumb Conference, East and West. NCTL Stars and Stripes Division.
All Saints Peck is also homecoming. No more Saturday homecoming for Peck, at least for this year.
But I don't like that.
I don't either, but that's for another show.
All right, thank you for tuning in. We did go in overtime, but that's okay. We got a lot in today on Thumb Sportsline Radio, high school sports show. Thank you to Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Thank you to Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. Thank you to Clark Ramsey, who was going to call in, but it was a little late.
It's the thought that counts.
It's right, but we do appreciate the stats report you had on Ubley and Harbor Beach also.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Also, thank you to the Mindy City Herald out there covering the games, Varsity Monthly, Jason Palmer-Tier out there, along with his whole staff and crew, Paul Adams, Scott Bowlesby. We also want to
thank you to all the coaches that continue to send stats on a very consistent basis.
Most of them.
If we had to do this show without those stats, we would be exposed as frauds even faster than we usually do.
Thank you to the Thumb Tugger Sports Crew, John Krieger. Kruger. Also, is it Crazier? Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Cody Klee.
Three tries.
Phil Nickel. Jonathan Bisher. Cody Klee. Did I mention him? Yes. Ashley Wayner Palmer. And prayers to her father, who's doing well. He got hurt in an accident.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
He'll be out reffing this week, I'm sure.
And the Huron Daily Tribune.
There you go.
Tom Green. Thank you for tuning in. And Ben Miller.
There you go. You take back what you said about Ben earlier.
What did I say?
You say sorry.
He says I drive too fast.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was an insult or a compliment.
I'm on Ben's side for that one.
If it was a compliment.
Yeah.
You drive like a last car player. What's that mean?
That's good.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Line. Shut up, Eddie. Let's get out of here.
Yeah,
Monday
let me
Night
go
Football.
Home.